Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard Seascapes, your maritime programme. This week we celebrate diving. Feature a diving club on the west coast of Ireland who are celebrating their 50th anniversary. We'll be hearing from a founder member of Galway Subaqua Club, George Ryder, and club president Joe Fegan. We'll be talking to Joe Sheehan, Thomas Moore and Paula Hart. But first, to George Ryder, who told Seascapes about the early days of diving in Galway and the formation of Galway Subaqua Club.
It started originally with students and University College Galway, as it was then, mostly students, a couple of staff members. I was a graduate at the time, and it started in 1963, snorkeling mostly. And at the time, we started basically snorkeling in our skin, literally, just with bathing togs, fins, mask and snorkel. Now, it was very limited as regards duration of exposure because the water here rarely gets above 16 degrees. We experimented with swimming with track suits, anoraks and things like that, but they weren't very good. But I happened to be in Dublin and I bought a 4mm wetsuit from a crowd in Dublin, and I was absolutely delighted with it. I went out to Bray with it, and I went snorkeling in Bray with the new suit, and it was absolutely fantastic. There was really no limitation to the time you could spend in the water. Now, of course, that was summer. Now, in December that year, I was in Dublin doing an exam, and in this same shop, I saw Aqualungs for sale. They were £35 each plus turnover tax, whoever remembers that. But it started at 5%. So there was £36.10 for that. I bought one, and other member of the club, Peter O'Byrne, bought another one. And we had, of course, a problem. They came full of air, but we had no way of filling them. So what we did then was we rented big air cylinders, and you could decant into the Aqualung cylinder, and we got by reasonably well on that. Now, through that winter of 63, we're mostly snorkeling and very little scuba diving because of the difficulty of getting air, and it was cold, but because the suits were not very thick. Mine was a 4mm, and we'd consider that barely adequate for summer now. Others built their own suits with material, which is quite good. It saved a lot of money, most of them being students, and money was a major consideration. So it started like saying University College, and it was University College Galway Subaqua Society. But then we decided we'd open it up to other people, and this club then was formed as a club, as Galway Subaqua Club. But most of the members were university people. A man who was working the Ulster Bank in Athenry, Val Kennedy, he was transferred from Dublin to Galway, and he was a member of the Curraghsubaq Club. He already had an Aqualung, which was very nice, and he bought a compressor, and I bought another one, which had been used by John Light on the Lusitania. But they were very small output, 50 cubic feet an hour. So it took an hour to fill a 7-litre cylinder. Now, so you spent longer filling the cylinder than you did emptying it. 2 years later, in 1965, I bought a brand new Bauer compressor, which is still running after all this time. Now, it had a few parts replaced, but a very good compressor. Now, that made life much better. The club was originally limited to 20 members. Then it was decided, because too many of the members were rarely diving, so there was only, let us say, about half a dozen really diving, and so we opened up the membership, and it's up to now approximately 50, and it has times been somewhat a little bit more. Diving equipment was very expensive, relatively. Most things have got cheaper in real terms. That time, a week's wages for an ordinary work was about £8. So this was very expensive. As scuba diving became more popular, more equipment became available, and it became worldwide much more popular, so there was more mass production, and equipment became much more available, and bigger cylinders became available, and much more suits and equipment became available. Now, in those days, a major problem with the wetsuit was that when you descended, the suit compressed and your buoyancy decreased, so you effectively got heavier, and getting up from the bottom was quite a struggle. The next item that was most useful came in was an adjustable buoyancy life jacket, and that was a very big help, because it meant that you could adjust your buoyancy to neutral at any depth, and it would support you on the surface also. Most useful. That was probably the biggest advance that there has been. The Aqualung itself has not really changed. It just uses compressed air. Nowadays, people sometimes use enriched air with extra oxygen, which has some advantages but also some limitations. Normally, scuba just uses compressed air, ordinary air, compressed to probably somewhere around 200 atmospheres, maybe a bit more. And it's just ordinary air with just the water removed. It's quite simple. There are some limitations as regards depth. Now, as you go, there are a few hazards potentially in diving. The main one is decompression sickness. Your body absorbs nitrogen, which is a major constituent of air, as you descend. And if you ascend too rapidly from depth, you may get bubbles in the tissues and the blood, which can cause a lot of problems. Now, nowadays, another advance is a dive computer, which does all the calculations for you and should eliminate the decompression sickness, but unfortunately it doesn't, because people go to the two extremes. They go to the limits, and unfortunately, if you go to the limit, you may just overstep it a little bit. People do get decompression sickness, and they get treated in the chamber at University Hospital Galway. And the chamber is manned mostly by members of Galway Tobacco Club, and has been for about 30 years. Fish life is the most interesting. There are quite large varieties of fish to be seen in the waters on the west of Ireland. The west of Ireland has very clear water and lots of fish. Most of the fish will be in relatively shallow water, and crabs, lobster, crawfish, wrasse, dogfish, and all sorts of little fish, sponges and various seaweeds, some quite colourful. Now, the club also has done several expeditions to foreign parts. The first one the club did would have been about, 1968, they went on an expedition to the south of France, down to where Cousteau started his diving down around Toulon. And that was a very interesting trip. Went down in a van with a trailer and a boat, one car and three motorbikes. It was quite an expedition. And most interesting diving down there. My father bought The Silent World, which is by Cousteau. He bought that for me in 1952. Well, he bought it for himself, really. But I read it and I really took a fancy to it. I said, I would love to be able to do that. Now, for my birthday that year, my father bought me a mask, a snorkel and fins. And, well, now, my birthday was in November, so I didn't get really to use it until the following spring. But that's really what started me. So I was snorkeling since 1963, the club. So I was snorkeling 10 years before the club was founded. So I had a lot of snorkeling done. So I really had a big interest in the underwater world. And Cousteau's book was certainly what inspired me. And I was very anxious to go and dive where he had done his initial diving. And the diving here in Ireland actually is substantially more colourful than the Mediterranean. Mediterranean is rather barren. Very good visibility and warm water on the surface, but when you go deep, it's the same temperature as here. You do need a suit. In snorkeling, the deepest I'd be would be about 50 feet. With the aqualung, then we'd go to 100 feet or 30 metres. But in the very early days, there was a problem then of the buoyancy, which was solved, as I say, by the adjustable buoyancy life jacket, which came in few years later. And that was really a huge improvement. I would say the biggest improvements were in the buoyancy control and the computers. The aqualung itself has changed very, very little. One thing that we got involved in very early on was recovering bodies from people who had drowned. Now, and there are quite a few tragedies here in Galway. There were a few multiple drownings from cars going into the docks here beside us. One particular incident where six people were drowned coming from a wedding, and it was a rather sad thing. Six people were drowned. Another case, another car in the docks, and two people were drowned. We were called on to search for bodies in the lakes, in the sea, in all parts. Now, we searched, went as far as Belmullet in County Mayo, recovering bodies. Now, the club has been involved in this all the years, and unfortunately, it's a recurring thing of drownings. Sometimes, don't know, possibly suicide. Others are pure accidents, like cars. Like here, the cars drove into the docks. They've now put barriers all around the edge of the docks, so there's much less risk of that happening now. And there have been no cars driving into the docks here for a long, long time.
From one of the founding fathers of Galway Sub Aqua Club, George Ryder, to one of the younger members, Thomas Moore, he told Seascapes about how he got involved.
Well, I joined the club in January 2001. I started my first dive. How I got into the club was a family game. My dad had been in the club for years beforehand, so I had just followed Suish and joined after him and followed his footsteps. It was a case, if he was out in Connemara, if he was out in a boat, I'd be out beside him from when I was about 7 years old. So it was a case, I grew up pretty much within the club even from that age, and learned to dive from watching him doing it and watching the others and the likes of George and John there diving.
So what stands out for you when you're on a typical day's diving?
Well, getting wet isn't an issue, no, not for us anyways. But weather is a huge aspect in this sort of lovely calm weather we've had over the last few weeks. Is absolutely fantastic diving weather. Whereas over the winter with storms and everything, we find a bit more difficult to get into water. We're very lucky based in Galway that we have lots of shelter diving and we have lots of options that we can go back and forth to. But what's then a normal day? I mean, weather, if it's lashing rain all day and you're out between dives having lunch, it can make things very uncomfortable as well. We've had a lot of encounters with fish and with frays and conger eels and that. A couple of more standout ones, we had a dive there 2 or 3 years ago down in Kilkee in Clare. We came across an electric ray. maybe 3 to 4 foot wide. And we had quite the, he's probably spent the first 10 minutes of the dive swimming around with us until he shocked Joe here and took off in a different direction. But definitely rays we've seen, I've come across basking sharks, we've never seen them on it, I've never been lucky enough like George to see them on a dive, but I have seen them on the boats, off the boats. And out around Connemara there's a lot of rocks and a lot of hidden dangers that aren't marked on charts, or aren't marked on any sort of navigational ways, and you need to know where you're going. And one of the legacies of the club is that knowledge has been passed down year after year to everybody, and we know where to go and where to avoid. Like George, I started snorkeling first as a younger guy and was snorkeling while they were diving and that, and then she decided, yeah, I want to go diving, and I started that way once I'd left school. Well, I haven't done a whole pile of diving overseas. I've only ever done one proper diving holiday away, which was in the Red Sea. Fantastic, but to have it on your own doorstep is something special as well. The standard of diving we have here at times is up there on par with the Red Sea, in my opinion.
Well, from Thomas Moore to Joe Sheehan on how he began diving off the West Coast.
Well, I grew up in South Kerry, and in my teenage years, it would have been in the early years of diving in Ireland. I remember a group of lads coming over from England who were diving in South Kerry. It was legal at the time to take shellfish, and it was as a consequence of their diving that it was banned ultimately. But I used to see them heading off with their scuba gear on ribs, and it fascinated me. Got to know the lads that were doing it, and had an opportunity to do one or two dives with them in my teenage years, when they were coming in the late 70s, I suppose. Did nothing about it for 20 years after that. And when I came to Galway, I saw an advertisement for the club in the local paper, attended the open night, and met the lads, thought they were a nice bunch of lads, did my training over the winter. As with most of our trainees, started my sea training in January, February, when the water was at its coldest. I think that we're still doing in the club. At that time, there were only the club membership was very small. It was probably at a low step. In 1996. Small group in a small boat, and mostly diving locally. In the big trip for the club at the time was down to dive the Skelligs from Valencia, and I think that's what really got me hooked at the time. I'm from Carsevain originally, and that to dive someplace like that on what would have been my doorstep when I was a kid was just amazing, and that really hooked me. And the dolphin that's down at Fanor,
Dusty.
In the early years that he was here, we used to regularly dive down at Doolin, down around Doolin, and he would accompany us for the 10, 15, 20 minutes of a dive, hopping between one dive group and the other. And that was really, really interesting.
And I didn't realise until recently that he acquired his name from Dusty Springfield, because Dusty had her ashes delivered across the cliffs of Moher, so that's how he got his moniker.
When we were kids, every summer we were shipped off to the beach to do our Irish water safety swimming classes, whether it was raining or it could have been snowing through the summer, but in those, you know, and we were still shipped off to the beach to do our swimming lessons, so no swimming pools for us. It's invaluable, really. Subsea gives... Not alone that, it gives people an opportunity to write about their own diving experiences, and most of the articles in Subsea are submitted by members in, you know, relating their own experiences, whether it's in this country or abroad, and it's really interesting to read about how the rest of the diving community are getting on. Fortunate in that we do our training in conjunction with the NUIG Subaqua Club. So they provide the training facilities, and we generally provide the trainers. Nowadays they're providing some of the trainers themselves, but So there's a you could have an audience of 40 or 50 students, along with our own small group of between 5 and 10 trainees in lecture through the winter, and then followed by a pool session after that. So with a big group, it requires a lot of trainers to do the training, but it also means that there's a continuity in it. It's, if one person is missing for the night, the whole thing doesn't fall apart. So it takes a lot of organisation for the club training officer and the club diving officer to arrange it, but it is a huge part of the club. Well, another one of the legacies of the Volvo is this Ocean Sports Centre that we're sitting in now. We have training rooms here. We have, well, we've accessed the training rooms. We have boat facilities that are far, far better than we've could have dreamed of. So we have a boatyard here at our disposal. We have a slip right beside us, and we're right in the centre of town. So we that was one of the big, big legacies of the Volvo. We were fortunate through the Tiger years to get grant assistance for very good quality boats, good quality club equipment, which is in part due to our involvement in search and recovery. So we are pretty well set up. We have good equipment. We set our sub level at a rate that means that we can afford to keep the equipment that we've purchased in pristine condition, and it means that the future of the club is pretty well assured by that. The investment was made when times were good, so we're fortunate in that regard.
The voice there of Joe Shane. Next here on Seascapes, we hear from Paula Hart, who began her diving on the East Coast.
We do a midweek dive on a Wednesday night, and to have the slip right outside the door is brilliant. You know, it takes a lot of the time out of it. Sometimes people can't get out of work on time if you decided to dive somewhere like Carro. So to have it here, like, it's a 10 or 15 minute job to get the boat in the water. And then on an evening like this, you know, the bay is your oyster. You can sort of pick your spot and away you go, you know, so it's fantastic to have it here. I started diving when I was in college. I joined the subaqua club in the college when I was in college in Dublin in DIT. So I learned my diving on the East Coast. So, and I think, I don't know what brought me to it. I just decided, oh, sure, I'll give that a go. You know, that looks like a nice club. So anyway, similar to Galway, you do your training over the winter, you do snorkels around Docky Island, and then come Easter time, you get your first dive and away you go. And what really sort of attracted me to it was the spread, I suppose, first of all, in the club. There was a guy there who was doing the training, Jimmy Delaney. He's since passed away. He was 72 and he was still diving. And then there was, you know, people like me who were, you know, 21, 22. And there was a huge spread in the middle, and there was no sort of barriers, and the knowledge that the older guys had spreading it down to the younger guys was absolutely invaluable. And then to hear their stories over the years, like Jimmy had, when he had started diving, he had painted tar. He had the story about painting tar on an iron sweater to make his first wetsuit, that kind of thing, you know. And it was just, that just really is what attracted me to it. And then actually doing the dive, like when you break the surface, it's like a different world. Unbelievable. I can't, it's just the best feeling. It's brilliant. So you could be buddied up, you know, with so you'd be like a brand new trainee, and you'd be buddied up with somebody who had lots of experience. You know, you're the same then. Underwater, you're the same. There's no, you know, there's no sort of I'm better than you, or, you know, you're kind of watching out for each other. It's just, it's great. Like, it's a great sport, and the social side of it is fantastic as well, because, you know, obviously living on the West Coast, you know, you don't always get the opportunity to dive whenever you'd like to, and if there's no diving, there's always a few drinks in the pub, you know. That's the one constant, you know. So, and that side of it is fantastic as well. It's a great social side to it, you know. I suppose my first year with Galway Subaqua, we went to down to Kerry, and we dived the Skelligs. And first of all, to dive the Skelligs was an amazing experience. And the sea life out there is fantastic. There was one part of the wall where there was dual anemones, and these guys kind of, they stick together in their colours. So there was like a blue stripe and an orange stripe and a yellow stripe. And while I was looking at this wall going, oh, look at these colours, aren't they great? a great big seal just swam past, like, you know, between me and the wall. And I was thinking, this is just amazing. Like, where would you get this? It's fantastic. And lots of, when we're out at Killary, we see lots of dolphins in the water, stuff like that, you know. But and out at the back of the Aran Islands, there's loads of little nooks and crannies for the crabs to hide in and the lobsters. And sometimes when you're on a dive, if you stop, you know, for 2 or 3 minutes and just, you know, let things come out, and things sort of come out of their little holes and they come out and have a look and see what's going on, you know. So it's there's loads of life.
We leave the final word on Galway Sub Aqua Club to the club president, Joe Fegan.
I started diving in 87. I was in college. Really through, there was two guys I hung out with a lot in college, and they were really into this diving thing, and the club sounded like great crack. And I'd always been interested in the water. I'm from Claddagh, which you can nearly see my parents' house from here. So I'd always been around the water kind of thing. So I thought, oh, I'll have a go at this. So I dived with them for about a good few years at the time. And then I kind of accidentally fell out of it, just got involved in other things, and people I knew moved away and that kind of thing, and ended up not diving at all for about 10 years. And then I spent about 3 years going, yeah, I should really get into this again. And one day I was at work, and it turned out a guy who works with me had put up a poster for the open night tomorrow. And I said, okay, that's it, I'm going to that. And then I got back into it and been going mad at that since then. It's a great day. Even, you know, you'd be out for a dive and people wonder, you know, I go out diving on a Sunday and I leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning and I won't get back until 6 maybe. And they're going, how long were you in the water? Well, I was in the water for maybe an hour and a half. But what did you do? Well, the rest of the time, you know, we was all setting up. It was the getting the boats together, having the briefs. It's all part of it, and people being together. You do the dives, and then for safety, you have to leave an interval between them. And so, you know, people hanging out and having their sandwiches and talking about what they saw and what they're doing, and getting ready for the next dive and laughing and joking. People dropping their hats in the water and picking them up. And the whole, it's all just that whole event. If you enjoy the whole event of the day, and the diving is a big part of it, but it's not in any way the biggest thing for me anyway. The original recompression chamber went in I think it was 1976 or thereabouts, and this was very, you know, by modern standards, very small chamber. It was maybe about 5 feet across, and you couldn't actually stand, well, less, probably 4 feet across inside, the length of a car. If you imagine something about the size of a van, and that's in there, you'd have maybe 6 people being treated, and you can't stand up properly, you need to sit down. But it's incredibly important to have that, because there really weren't the facilities. And as people started to dive around the country, they realized that, you know, there was a real danger here if someone was in trouble. There were no facilities short of being flown to England. If you did get in trouble, you were being flown to the Isle of Man or to England, because there wasn't really any facilities. And so a program was put in place to try and change that. And eventually the Western Health Board funded this chamber in the hospital in Galway. And that chamber then was manned for, the new one is too, but the original one was manned for about, up until about 2009, I think it was. And it was 24/7 rota, mostly with volunteers from Galway Sub Aqua Club. Because if you're undergoing treatment, you need to have somebody in the chamber with you in case you lose consciousness or that kind of stuff. You also need operators on the outside to control the pressure and the depths and the times and monitor your progress and all that kind of stuff. There are a lot of clubs around the country involved in this, including ourselves. It's kind of a specialised thing. Not everybody is involved, and no one is expected to if they don't want to. It's obviously not a thing that a lot of people would want to do, and it requires specialised training. And you know, if you have the training and you have the proper certificates, then you're insured. So it's important to do that. And then you do regular training exercises to keep the, you know, skills there and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot to that. It's important service, and you know, people feel very strongly about it, and it's a tradition in the club that this has been gone on. As George said, that started from the very beginning, and it still goes on today. I actually worked out that it's close to 50 years old. I think I've been in it for about, I started diving about halfway in there. I think the biggest day I had, when Thomas mentioned earlier, well, I dived in Kilkee a couple of years ago, and on the first dive in the morning, came across an electric ray, which was maybe 3 feet long. And looked, I knew it was a ray of some kind, but I'd never actually heard of an electric ray. So I found out the hard way that it was an electric ray. And so that I remember. And in the afternoon of that same day, which is very hard to believe, I actually saw a sunfish on a dive, which is another quite a big round fish that you don't see too many in Ireland. I saw sunfish the afternoon of the same day. So I've dived in Mexico and Australia and in the Red Sea. And they are great, and they're great, fantastic things there. Of course they are, but there's an awful lot of life. I mean, when I started into diving, I was really amazed by the amount of colour and fish life. And especially It's not like looking at wildlife in the countryside where they run away and hide from you. Fish will let you come right up because they know they're perfectly safe and they can take off if they want. So you can get right up close to these big fish and then they go, okay, that's enough, and they're gone. You're on their patch and they're quite happy to sit there and let you come right up to them until they go, okay, I'm bored now, and they swim off.
Joe Feegan, president of Galway Sabacra Club. We congratulate the club on its 50th anniversary this year. You can see more on the Seascapes webpage. This year, by the way, is also the 50th anniversary of Ireland's only diving magazine, Subsea, the cover of which features a diver entering the water at Solomon's Hole off Hookhead. The issue has a detailed history of the Irish Underwater Council and a diverse selection of articles from throughout the island. Last week we featured Norman Freeman's tale of two cats. Well, we had this note from Lieutenant Colonel James Dawson. Permission to come aboard. That cat, Oscar, I think you said, was a menace. You seem to think that he was a lucky cat because he escaped drowning three times. Personally, I believe that any cat that can get its ship sunk by both sides in the one war is a most unlucky cat, and I'd not let it within 100 leagues of any ship I was involved with. In fact, if I was in the Pacific, I'd not let the cat out of the Atlantic. By any chance, did the home in which it finished its life burn down or collapse? Fair sailing to you and the crew. Yours, Lieutenant Colonel James E. Dawson, Limerick. Delighted to see the successful raising of the Astrid off Kinsale. There are some terrific photos circulating on websites and the Book of the Face. It brings it home to many how straightforward a proper response to the loss of the Asgard II in the Bay of Biscay might have worked out. Speaking of salvage operations, the recovery of the cruise ship the Costa Concordia is reaching its climax, a remarkable feat of engineering. A note in from Laurence Ingleback in Clifton. Hi Marcus, I organised the Clifton Lifeboat 10K race in memory of my 18-year-old son Mikey Mullen, who died when the MVF St Oliver sank off the coast of Carna in 2004, and all other local fishermen who perished at sea, and I would appreciate if you could give it a mention on Seascapes. The 10K race takes place this Sunday, the 15th of September, in Clifton. You can register on the day in O'Malley's Bar in Clifton from 12:30, and the race starts at 2:00. Runners, walkers and teams are welcome, and all money raised goes to the Clifton RNLI. You can get more information on their website, which is www.clifton10k.com, or ring 087-627-1288, that's 087-627-1288, or info@clifton10k.com. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll be featuring the flag officer commanding the Naval Service. Seascapes visits Haulbowline Island, Naval Service headquarters, across from Cove and Cork Harbour, where we talk to Commodore Mark Millett on the work of the Irish Naval Service, IMERC, the National Maritime College of Ireland, new arrivals due in the fleet, our extensive coastline and vast sea area, which is Irish territory. That's Commodore Mark Millett in an exclusive edition of Seascapes, your maritime programme. So until next Friday night, tight lines, fair sailing.